Welcome to our Bible study on the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 1 through 9, and verses 18 through 23. As always, I am assuming that you have read the passage, that you understand our translations may not agree, and that you have your Bibles open before you. I also want to invite you to our in-person Bible study held on Wednesdays from 5:15 until 6 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall of the Church. Our passage is the well-known parable of the sower with an interpretation. And this parable and its interpretation can also be found in Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 9 and verses 13 through 20, and in Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 8 and 11 through 15. Our primary focus will be on Matthew's version. Chapter 13, verses 1 through 9 is the sower. And it begins, and chapter and verse 3 begins the parable, but it is difficult for us to hear the parable independent of its allegorical interpretation that we get in verses 18 through 23. The allegorical interpretation emphasized the four kinds of soil, with the implicit question, "What kind of soil am I?" But it is possible that the original parable focused on the surprisingly abundant harvest despite initial threats or failures. In first century Palestine, fields could be sown in the fall or spring. Sometimes the field was first prepared by plowing, and sometimes the seed was sown first and then plowed in. But the parable is not interested in agricultural details. All attention focuses on the fate of the seed and the various kinds of soil. Sowing was a stock metaphor for teaching, and harvest was a metaphor for the eschatology, that is, the end times of gathering and judgment. As to the harvest, the parable portrays a fantastically surprising harvest. Although the parable focuses more on the different kinds of soil and the final harvest, the sower himself plays a minor role, disappearing after the opening line, even though Matthew seems to identify the sower with Christ, though that may not be clear until chapter 13, verse 37, "He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man." See, for Matthew, Jesus accompanies his church through history. Chapter 28, verse 18, "All authority has been given to me." Jesus is present and active in the sowing of the word, the passage I just referenced. Jesus identifies himself with his missionaries at chapter 10, verse 40, "He who receives you receives me." Jesus himself builds the church, chapter 16, verse 18, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." And Jesus will be the judge who separates faithful from unfaithful disciples, chapter 13, verses 41 through 43. "The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and throw them into the furnace of fire. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father." Matthew sees all the parables in chapter 13 and the perspective of the sorting and evaluating for the eschatological judgment, and a judgment that comes at end times. This means that the emphasis has implications for discipleship to produce fruit, meaning righteous deeds. This is why Matthew reverses the order of Mark's results, where Mark has 30, 60 to 100, and Matthew has 100, 60, and 30, so that it becomes a judgment, like the parable of the talents in chapter 25, verse 14 through 30. Remember how when the master comes home, the first servant presented is the one who has been given five talents, then the one with two, then the servant who had been given one. So here too with this parable, we have a pronouncement of judgment going from the most fruitful to the less fruitful. In verses 18 through 23, the parable of the sower is interpreted. The interpretation of the parable of the sower presents a problem. It changes the parable to an allegory. That is, each item of the story, the sower, the seed, the weed, the rocks, the good soil, represents something else. Once upon a time, to allegorize something was a popular way of biblical interpretation. And in some circles, it still is. But most scholars today view it with suspicion because it allows too many meanings to run rampant. In this allegorical interpretation, the first group of seeds fall on the path and are eaten by birds. But in the interpretation, the seed is taken away by the evil one because the person does not understand it. Sometimes this is seen about why it is important that a person understands about Jesus and the kingdom of God. The person is not necessarily a bad person. They are not evil, but they are vulnerable to the evil one because of their lack of understanding. The second group of seeds are the ones who receive it with joy, but they are shallow. The roots do not go deep, and when trouble comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Notice in verse 21, the phrase was because of the word, which is why the word persecution is added to trouble. It's not just trouble in general, it's trouble because of the word. In the early church, that could have meant persecution. In the third category, the seed falls among the thorns and is choked out. Notice the mention of wealth in verse 22. Wealth is not mentioned in the parable proper at verse 7, it's just thorns. But the issue of dealing with wealth can be a thorny problem, ha ha ha. The problem of wealth is difficult. Parents need to provide financial security, food, shelter, medical insurance for their families, but that requires them from being away from and unable to participate in the lives of their family members the way that they would like. Certainly, we all know robbing a bank is the wrong way to get wealth, but the temptation of wealth can distract us from our life with Christ. Finally, we get to the good soil. And the producing of fruit or a crop, depending on the translation, and obviously we hope to be the good soil. We want to produce good fruit. Such an allegorical interpretation seems straightforward enough. But if that's the way we look at the parable, then the parable is really about the soil and not the sower, and we want to be the good soil, and how do we become the good soil? The parable never tells us how we can change from a path or rocky ground or thorny ground to good soil, unless the lesson is one of self-examination. Look at your life. Examine how you are living. Does your life show forth fruit? If it doesn't, then change your ways. Certainly, there is judgment involved. Your life needs to bring forth fruit. And now I want to introduce another thought. If we look just at the parable and not at the allegorical interpretation, we can look at the action of the sower. We can see that the sower isn't completely successful, that indeed only 25% of his efforts bring forth any fruit. But those results are truly amazing. What if the parable is intended to encourage us to continue sowing the seeds of the kingdom? To understand that for different reasons, different people will respond in different ways. We can look at the parable in a way that encourages us, understanding that when there is failure in the mission field, and obviously there is, it's not because of the sower or the seed. It's because the listener is not in a place to receive what they are given. If we expand this understanding, then we see that this can be an encouragement not only for the individual sower, but also for the church, that even if it seems the majority of the world is rejecting Jesus, rejecting the kingdom, the purpose of God remains sure and will be fulfilled. Thank you for listening. Take care and God bless.